this morning entitled Relation Slips. And so whether you are single or you're married or you're parenting or you're grandparenting or you don't have any kids to parent, whether you have coworkers or neighbors or family members, whether you interact on social media, if you have opinions about anything or everything, then I would suggest and hope that the conversation that we'll be having over the next 4 weeks through this new message series will help us to avoid some relation slips that maybe impact some of the relationships that we have, and maybe even will help to make our relationships better. Over these next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about the ways in which we can try to avoid these slip-ups in our relationships when we respect each other, when we encourage each other, when we love each other, and when we forgive each other. And so I'm going to pray, and then we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, again, we give you thanks for bringing us here to this place. And we know and trust that you meet us here in this place, not just here, but that you walk beside us throughout our days. And we give you thanks for the opportunity that we have to come. And we pray that you would open our hearts to the things that you would have for us. And so we're asking, we're expecting you to speak to us. Help us to be attentive to your words. May our hearts and our minds be open to that which you would want for us to hear. And Lord, I pray, I ask, I beg that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. And as we spend time in your word this morning, we ask and pray that it would also be fresh and new to us in our time together. Amen. Now, it is impossible, I would suggest, it is impossible to completely avoid conflict. I would also suggest it's possible that we don't have to be afraid of it. I think it's impossible to avoid conflict and that it is possible to not have to be afraid of it. In fact, I would suggest that conflict is quite normal, at times necessary, and can actually be a helpful thing. So here's our relation slip for this morning. We fail to respect one another by allowing conflict to go unresolved. We fail to respect one another when we allow conflict to go unresolved. Think about this in your own life. The deepest type of conflict that we have or that we wrestle with or we experience is the tension we feel when we have some sort of conflict and we don't say anything about it. There's some sort of tension, there's some sort of conflict that's happening in our lives or in relationships that we have, and we allow this to kind of, we push it down, we ignore it, we'd rather not deal with it, we don't talk about it, and then it starts to kind of lead to other stuff. And so we see that sometimes the deepest type of conflict is that conflict which we don't actually address. Now, if we can believe that conflict doesn't have to be a scary thing, then we can look for ways to deal with and address conflict. Even so much so that if you think about it, if conflict is not just a normal, natural thing, but perhaps necessary and can actually bring about healing, then it would make sense that conflict is connected to your deeper relationships that you have in your life. If you think about any relationship that you have in your life that has any value or worth or depth, more than likely, there has been conflict within that relationship in some way, which, if we don't have to be afraid of, and we believe is a necessary and even potentially helpful thing, then we can see how conflict is the result of a deeper relationship. Social media is one of those, it's a blessing and a curse, right? Like, it's the greatest thing, and it's like the worst thing ever. I like it, I use it, some things more than others. I'm a fan of Twitter. I like that it sort of is, you know, it forces, you know, your ridiculousness into 140 characters and kind of limits it to that, right? And just like a lot of other social networks, Twitter is one where you know, perhaps you follow somebody and they follow you back, or they don't follow you back, or someone follows you and you don't. You can kind of understand that at the baseline of the, I'm going to talk about Twitter for a second. In the baseline of the Twitter world, the baseline relationship is a follow or not follow. And I would say, is that really a relationship? I mean, it's debatable, okay? But just for this. Just yesterday, so I use Twitter. I tweet stuff that I think is brilliant and, you know, just I'm a genius. And then I will have people who disagree with me, right? Who don't think that it's brilliant or genius. And they're more often than not, they're right. Just happened yesterday. I had an individual who commented on something that I put out on Twitter. I have no relationship with this individual. I mean, not even the baseline, like, Twitter relationship. I do not follow this individual. This individual does not follow me. I'm not sure how they came across my tweet that I threw out there. But this individual had an opinion about what I said, and it could have been a point of conflict. I would actually go even a little bit further. It would have been a point of conflict if I had a deeper relationship with this individual. Because I don't know who this individual is. Great, have your opinion on what I said. It doesn't matter to me. I respect everyone's opinion. You already hear this, right? The foundation is I respect everyone's opinion. We should all respect everyone's opinion. But I don't have to engage it because there's no deeper relationship that sort of causes me to do that. In your life, you have relationships that when conflict comes up, or conflict even is a result of the fact that you have deeper relationships. This individual, I don't know who they are. I don't need to enter into this conflict with them. And so if we think about conflict as this thing that is not just necessary, but that it can be helpful, and as a part of our deeper relationships, then what does it look like for us this morning as we wrestle with this idea of respecting one another? If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to James chapter 1. Or if you're taking notes, James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Spend some time with it this week. I'll throw a couple other passages or verses at you throughout our conversation together this morning. You see the words on the screen. James writes and he says this. So my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Everyone should be slow to speak. Everyone should be slow to become angry. Because human anger does not bring about the things that God desires for you and for me. My paraphrase. And so if we're going to try to avoid the relation slip of not respecting one another because we allow conflict to go unresolved, we have a couple things that James kind of points out for us. Here's a couple things that he says. First one is this: be quick to listen. Are we truly hearing the words that are being said? I already made the confession at the 9 o'clock service. I make it again to my wife and to all of you that it's easy for me to sometimes pretend like, to act like I'm listening. Oh, she's talking, and I'm going, okay. And then she'll go, can you tell me what I just said? Well, you know, why don't you repeat it for me, just so I make sure that, you know, how often are we acting like we're listening when in fact we're already formulating the next thing, right? Conversation's happening and it's easy, and I won't put this on you, but I'll say for me, it's easy for me to act like I'm listening and I'm already starting to formulate my defense, my rebuttal, my opinion, my advice. Right, the thing that I do as a pastor that there are times when it seems like there's an overlap almost between like life coach, whatever that means, and a pastor. And so people will, for whatever reason, will sometimes come and ask me for my advice on things. And there are times when it's easy for me to act like I'm listening, and they start a conversation, and it's like they're going in a direction, and I'm already formulating a plan in my head for them. Before I have actually just taken a step back to just listen. Be quick to listen. Are we truly hearing the words that are being said? Real listening is attempting to enter into the experience and feelings of another as they share the words that they're saying. Am I truly hearing these words? This is the active practice of empathy. Empathy is not removing a voice or a perspective from a conversation. Empathy is not giving someone access to the, is removing access to a conversation. That is not empathy. And kind of a side note for a second. I am not looking to be political. I'm trying to be Christian. And so I believe that when political interests and policies intersect with the way that we live our faith, that part of my responsibility as a pastor, as perhaps even your pastor, is to challenge us to have conversation together about how we live out our faith. Not that your political views don't matter. They very much do matter. And I would, at some point, I would enjoy having conversations about politics with any of you. That will not happen as I stand here in front of you. It will not happen on Sunday morning. That is not the place, the time, or the space. Having said that, do I have opinions about stuff? Of course. And we'll talk about how, FYI, God has set you free to share your opinion about everything. You don't have to. Like, praise Jesus. You don't have to. We just don't have to. We don't have to. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I believe that as we look at the ways in which political views or policies and our faith intersect, that we have to figure out how do we live in that tension together. Conflict is all around us. I mean, all around us. And yes, conflict even shows up within the church. Christians are in conflict with each other. Can you believe it? And so I believe that the church has the opportunity to model how to respect one another in the midst of conflict. Because here's the thing, there is something deeper that unites us and connects us than any political policy or any political view. That is love for Jesus. And his love in us and through us, which enables us to love each other, even in the midst of conflict. So conflict is, again, if conflict is not a bad thing, is even necessary, and can be a part of or a sign of deeper relationship, what a great opportunity for the church to model how to respect one another in the midst of conflict and conversation. There have been countless times throughout history where the church has the opportunity to model this for the rest of the world. And so my hope and my prayer is that we might, as a church, look for ways to model how we can respect one another. And one of the things that James tells us that first we must do is be quick to listen. He tells us also that we've got to be slow to speak. Have you ever, I won't ask you if it's you, so we'll put it on somebody else. Right? Have you ever known somebody who just never stops talking? All three of our kids have been pretty verbal. Our daughter Sadie, she's four, and she'll just go. Like, she'll just talk. It seems especially when my wife and I are trying to have a conversation about anything. Like, it's, they, you know, all three of them have to also be talking, you know, to us at the same time. But Sadie, she'll just talk, you know, I really like gum. Hey, Dad, today at school I learned about purple. I don't know, Dad, if you knew this, but I'm a grown-up, and I'm a mom, and I have two babies. The one with brown hair, her name is Anna. The one with yellow hair, her name is Allie. So I just, you know, if you didn't know that. Did I tell you that I really like gum? I like the watermelon kind. It's my favorite. And so it's just like, it just goes and it goes, right? It's kind of... And there are times when I think that if we say so much all the time, that it kind of just sounds like noise, right? So Sadie will talk and talk and talk to the point where it's kind of just becomes noise. And then I'll hear, like, there's little words that I'll hear and I'll kind of perk up a little bit. Like, wait, you know, Cecil fell off the bed. I'm like, wait, what? You know, in the midst of all of our thing. She'll be talking about this or that, and then she'll be like, you know, I love you. And I'll go, wait, hold on, time out. Did you just say that you loved me? She'll be like, yeah. But then I was also telling you about my baby. And I'm like, okay, cool. Talking, something, smoke. And then it's on to the, like, and I'm like, oh, hold on. This actually happened. Wait, what? So we have a fireplace in our house. And no, the house wasn't on fire. But if you have a fireplace or you've done anything with that, there was like a time, I started a fire and it was fine. And the log rolled to the front of the grate. And so there was some smoke that started to come out of the fireplace, like kind of, and she's bebopping around doing her thing. And she's like, hey, Dad, there's smoke coming out, you know, like out of the fireplace. And then she's kind of like, okay, see ya. Like kept going on with her thing. And I was like, wait, what? And sure enough, you know, like she was right. But there are times when if we talk so much that we're not actually saying anything. And so we hear James telling us to be quick to listen, and then also that we must be slow to speak, that our words matter, and that the words that we use matter. So, if we can get to a point where perhaps, again, God has set us free so that we don't have to share our opinion about everything. We just don't have to. And if we can instead be slow to speak in those moments when we do speak into a particular situation or share an opinion about something, that people might actually listen. If we're just talking and talking and talking, it becomes hard to hear the things that we're saying. Did you know? So if you're taking notes, write this down. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. If you haven't read through the book of Proverbs, you should do that. You'll just find these little tidbits, these kind of nuggets of wisdom that'll sort of just smack you across the face, and you'll be like, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. The writer of Proverbs says this, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their opinions. Right? I read it and was like, Fools find no delight in understanding, yet get excited about the opportunity to share their own opinions. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus is asked roughly 180 questions. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. 180 different questions that Jesus is asked. Can you guess how many of them he answered? Seven. 173 questions that Jesus didn't answer. And James tells us to be slow to speak. Now, there are other times, too, when this is not Jesus ignoring. So don't be like, oh, he's a jerk. If you look through Scripture, you'll also see that the majority of the time that Jesus did respond, he came back with what? Another question, right? And then we're like, Jesus! Because it'd be a lot easier for us with 180 questions if we could just go through the list and go, and Jesus said, okay, question number one, here's the answer. Number two, number three, number 178, 79, 180, and there you go, here's the list, do these things, now go, you know, live it. He answered seven. And the majority of the time, he responded with another stinking question. Because Jesus was looking to understand. If we are quick to listen and we are slow to speak, and even in those few words that we might use, what if they were questions to ask to gain better understanding? What if we only had a limited amount of words that we were given? Some of us would be like, oh, wouldn't that be, that would really be a blessing. I can think of some people where that would really be a true blessing. If we had a limited amount of words that we were given and we chose to use those words to seek understanding, I'm wondering if that's not part of the idea of what James is suggesting. Be quick to listen, be slow to speak. May the words that you use be used to gain understanding of another's perspective, of their situation, of their feelings. May your words encourage you to live with empathy. And then lastly, he says, slow to become angry. So not only have you, by the power and blood of the risen Savior, been given freedom to not have an opinion on everything, to share it. You have an opinion, have your opinion. Great. You don't have to share it on everything. I don't have to share it on everything. Like, we're free to not have to do that. We also have permission to be mad. That God gives us permission to be angry. We see this, Paul writes this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Anger is not the sin. It's what we do in and with our anger that can start to kind of cause us some issues. You have permission to be upset, to be angry, to be mad. It's what we do with our anger that then, as we read in verse 20 of James, but where Paul then goes on to say, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. James says it in verse 20. He says that if we allow our anger to kind of become this other thing, then it's not producing the stuff that God wants and desires for us. Don't hold on to your anger for longer than is necessary or healthy. Anger is not the sin. It's whatever we do in the midst of or with, and we hear Paul telling us, so don't let the sun go down on your anger. I mean, the idea is don't hold a grudge. Don't hold on to something for days. Some of us, even this morning perhaps, are holding on to some anger for days, for weeks, for months, perhaps even years, and what happens is that anger turns into something else. Anger will not kill you. It's when it sits and it festers that it starts to turn into something else. Those something else can kill you. Bitterness, jealousy, those things can kill you. And so it's when we are slow to become angry, we are attempting to live with humility. We're attempting to live and practice patience. Perhaps this morning there are some of us here that need to let go of some anger. You've held on to it for long enough to where it has become something else. You can read through Scripture. Scripture will talk about kind of a righteous anger. There are times when it is not just appropriate, but perhaps expected for us as Christians, regardless of your political views or political party, when it is expected for us as Christians to be angry about things that we see happening around us. But we've got to make sure that anger doesn't become something else. Now, oftentimes, anger is described as the second emotion. That there's some other thing that's happening, or perhaps a deeper emotion that causes us to kind of be angry. And anger is more often not the visible emotion that we see. So when we hear James's words to be slow to become angry, we are reminded of the need to live with humility and to practice patience with one another. If we're going to avoid the relation slip of disrespecting each other because we leave conflict unresolved, then may we hear James' words when he tells us that we've got to be quick to listen, that we might hear the words that are being said, that we might be slow to speak, that we're always talking all the time about everything. We don't have to, but that our words might be few and that they might be words that seek understanding. And that that we would be slow to become angry. There are times when we should absolutely be angry. But that we might live with humility and patience as we strive to live in conflict with each other and at the same time respect and love each other. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you are willing to put up with us. And we confess to you that we don't always do a very good job of respecting each other or others. And as a result, that means we disrespect you, for you have created all of us in your image. And so we confess that we don't always do a good job of respecting others or respecting you. And so we pray and we ask for your forgiveness. We give you thanks for your grace that meets us there in the midst of our disrespect for those around us, and perhaps even at times for ourselves. And we pray that by your grace, that you might help us to live in unity with one another, that you would bind us together by something that is much stronger than anything else that there could be, that being your love. And so we pray that you would mold us and continue to shape us into your image as we strive to love and respect each other and our community.